Welcome to Mornings with Matt White, right here on SEN.
Bit of a late start this morning, but we got there, folks. Welcome to the show. Partly cloudy today, tops of 20 in both the city and the west. Our apologies for that. There is a lot going on in the world of sport, both here and around the world. In fact, in rugby league, vaccinations are still a hot topic. The battle for 7th and 8th is a debate that will rage right until the final round. The destination of our grand final is still a question that needs to be answered. And who'd like to be the groundskeepers at Suncorp Stadium and Cbus Super Stadium up there in Queensland this weekend? Of course, round 21 kicks off tonight in Brisbane. Do the Broncos have the away dressing room at their own ground for this one? Because technically it's a Knights home match at Suncorp. Kickoff for that at 7:50 tonight. And are you backing the Knights to be there when the top eight is finalised? They are a very different team, with Bradman Best and Kalyn Ponga both back in the side. Very different. They're 11th on the ladder, but they're equal with the Titans, the Sharks, the Raiders and the Dragons on 18 points as we head into round 21. So let me know your 7th and 8th teams this morning. Let's predict them a few weeks out. Who gets into the top 8 in position 7, position 8? 0457 736 736. Or give me a call, 1300 01 1170, this morning for our first hour. Scotty Sattler will be with me soon for our Thursday game plan as rugby league continues to survive in these craziest of times. Our full Olympic coverage will get underway at 10 o'clock, but last night in Tokyo, so close. Australia's Peter Boll, he's got us all in the palm of his hands. He had the world taking notice too after another stunning run, finishing fourth in the 800 metres.
Boll holding for the moment. The pressure's about to come on. Who strikes first? Carrer. Not sure how well Rotich is going. He's back in sixth place. Can Boll hang on? Carrer's at him now. Peter's got to hold his ground here. Amos is coming with a run. 150 to go. Carrer's taken the lead. Boll not done with yet. They're starting to sweep home at the back now. Carrer in front. Rotich very, very late. Kenya go 1 and 2. Poland 3, Australia 4. He gave himself...
Could we fall in love with any more of our Australian athletes at these games? Are we just absolutely captured by anybody else for the remainder of these games? Boll, another one. He had his teammates in the stands carrying support signs. They love him. His family is so important to him. They relocated from Sudan. Everybody now knows the story of Peter Boll. His fans back home absolutely going nuts. We love him. He's loving the experience.
Pete, congratulations. The tempo dropped out of the race early, but you had to then take up the running. Take us through the race.
I put myself in every chance. I think the only thing I regret is the last 100 tightening up a little bit. Other than that, we came here to win, and that's what I did. I tried to win it. We came short, but we're in the Olympic final, and there's more to come.
You've run fourth in an Olympic final. It's something you should be immensely proud of, especially with arriving at these championships. That was above your wildest dreams, wasn't it?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I'm pretty happy right now. The goal was to win, so we still have to reflect up on that. But at the same time, I think today, I didn't know if I was going to win, but I knew one thing for certain, that the whole Australia was watching, and that carried me on, so I love that part about it.
Are you aware of what you've also done for the Sudanese community? We know your journey from Sudan to Egypt to Queensland to WA, and you've inspired so many young kids at the moment.
Yes, to Ross, I'm grateful. To Australia, I'm thankful. And to everyone in Australia, because we're just human at the end of the day. So we inspired the whole nation, and that's the goal.
We're a little cheeky, Pete. We put some cameras in at your family. I'm going to turn this monitor around so you can have a quick look at them. I think they're all pretty keen to give you a wave. Check them out, Pete.
Oh, man.
Have a look at that. The whole family were there. They got together. They were cheering. Hopefully they'll see themselves on screen soon. They can see that you're seeing them.
That's my brother. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday. Look at that. That's the whole family. I can probably name every single one of them. I love you guys and I appreciate you so much. Thank you for following the journey.
It's absolutely brilliant what you've done, Pete. Everyone in Australia was all talking about how great you've been, mate. You're inspiring many, many youngsters out there. Congratulations on what you've achieved. You've been outstanding.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
It's great stuff. He is a great story, but heartbreak in the women's 3,000 metres steeplechase. Genevieve Gregson ruptured her Achilles on the water jump. She was stretchered from the track. In fact, she was out in a wheelchair and ended up in a full-blown cast. All of this on her 32nd birthday. Can you believe it? Terrific stuff from Lyndon Hall and Jessica Hull going through to the final of the 1500 metres. So we've got two Aussies into the final. We're the only country with two representatives in this medal race. Jess breaking the Australian record along the way.
Jess is having a fabulous run. She just has to hold her form from this point in, Bruce, and she's doing that.
So Kipyegon, who comes into this as an overwhelming favourite because Hassan goes for a different type of thing here, going well behind her, and Hull's had a fantastic run here. This time is going to be really, really quick. I wonder if she'll break the Australian record, Jess. Oh, she might have. She may have taken Lyndon's record off her.
Wow. And doesn't she look happy? And so she should. Not only an Australian record, but she is.
Yeah, that was great stuff. So Lyndon Hall, Jess Hull into the final of the 1500. The men's 200 metres final last night. Showtime again. But this American 17-year-old wunderkind, Erin Knighton, will have to wait after Canada's Andre de Grasse finally got that individual gold.
Off they go. Dwyer, Fumbaugher, away well, Benarik, as you'd expect, to Grass. Lowell's okay. Knighton's not too far away on the bend. Into the straight. Benarik just led. De Grasse goes after him. Lowell's going better than Knighton, starting to wind up. Lowell's just in front. De Grasse is going to do it, I reckon. Yes, he is. He's got his fifth, and it's golden.
So there you go, Bruce McAvaney's call of that one. So it's day 13 of the Tokyo 2020 Games on the Olympic menu today. Our women's high jumpers will be in action at the Olympic Stadium. Nicola McDermott and Eleanor Patterson there. Nick is the first Aussie woman to break 2 metres. The men's decathlon continues. Now, Australia's Ash Maloney is second overall after day one of competition, but he is suffering badly. We'll hear from him a little bit later on. Cedric Dubler is also competing. Hurdles, discus and pole vault today. In beach volleyball, our Aussie pair of Mariafa Tacho Del Sola and Talika Clancy are in the semi-finals. That's huge. That begins at 11 o'clock this morning. Second round of the women's golf. Minji Lee is currently heading out on course right now. Her and Hannah Green are both 5 shots off the lead going into round two. There are semi-finals featuring Aussies in the women's K1 500 and men's K2 1000 at the canoe sprint. And of course, the big one, the Boomers v Team USA in the semis of the men's basketball. Now, we'll be taking you to the Saitama Super Stadium at 2 o'clock today, right here on SEN. Former Boomer Chris Anstey and Jared Waitley with special coverage on 1170 SEN. The text machine is up and firing. You can have your say. 0457 736 736 or give me a buzz this first hour, 1300 01 1170. Let me know who gets position 7 and 8 when the Premiership proper swings into the finals. Coming up, the Thursday game plan with Scotty Sattler, but time now for a betting update with Paul Sebastiani from Bet Deluxe. Please gamble responsibly. Morning, Paul.
Very good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Another busy day ahead and another busy weekend ahead. Let's start with NRL head-to-head.
We shall indeed, yeah. 7:50 tonight, the Knights and the Broncos go head-to-head. The Knights $1.24 with betdeluxe.com.au. Broncos $4.05, and then the Friday night games. The Raiders $1.28. Illawarra, the St. George Illawarra Dragons $3.66. That came from 6 p.m. And then 8:05, it's the Eels versus the Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs $1.32 and the Eels $3.37. But I think the game that you've got an eye on, Matt, is Manly v Melbourne. This is going to be an absolute cracker. Saturday night, Manly $3.83. The Storm $1.26. Now, interesting to note that we've actually had a little bit of money for Manly at the head-to-head. So I would be keeping a very keen eye on that. I think Manly are a big sniff to maybe stop this Storm winning streak.
Sounds good to me. What about AFL, mate?
Yeah, well, big game Friday night as well here. We've got win in this game, Geelong v GWS. Geelong $1.13, GWS $6.10. And then Saturday afternoon, Carlton $1.26, the Gold Coast $3.91. And the Swannies, they play against St Kilda, $1.45 for the Swans, St Kilda $2.78. If the Swans just keep firming for the premiership, they're a $9 elect now with betdeluxe.com.au. So onwards and upwards for the Bloods.
And then the big one this afternoon, so 2:15 at the Olympics, the Saitama Super Stadium. So we've got the men's semi. What are the markets saying for Boomers v USA?
Yeah, well, the Dream Team, the USA, $1.15. Australia, the Boomers, $5.80. But we've had very good money at the line for Australia. So the plus 11.5 at $1.91 and the minus 11.5 is at $1.91. So, look, market expecting the Dream Team to unfortunately win for our sake, but thinking that the Australians can cover the line at the plus 11.5 there, Matt.
Yeah, and just finally, Paul, racing this Saturday.
Yeah, we've got big one at Flemington as well. We've had a good little each-way push in the Ori's Handicap at Flemington for King of Hastings, but there's also been good money there for Regards Marie. It's been about $11 into $5 with betdeluxe.com.au. And one closer to home, Coffs Harbour Cup today. Race 7, number 2, Lunchies. $3.90 into $2.80. And Chris Lees, I believe, has got an eye on the Caulfield Cup with this horse. So I think it's about 100-1. In the Caulfield Cup futures. So $2.80 today win the Coffs Harbour Cup, but 100-1 to win the Caulfield Cup. So maybe a little futures there bet for you, Matt.
Yeah, because that'll change quickly if he gets it going today at the Coffs Harbour Cup. Good on you, Paul.
Definitely. No worries, Matt. We'll chat next week. All the best.
Will do. Paul Sebastiani there from Bet Deluxe. Serious betting for serious punters. You can download the new Bet Deluxe app today, but please gamble responsibly. The helpline 1800 858 858. This is Mornings with Matt White. After this, the Thursday game plan with Scotty Sattler.
Time for the game plan.
With Sports Day New South Wales host Scotty Sattler, who joins us this morning. G'day, Sats.
Hello, Matty. How are you, pal?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. A very busy day ahead in Olympic land as well, but boy, there's a lot going on in rugby league. Can I start with the World Cup? So I think this was going to be blatantly obvious once Australia and New Zealand made their call. Looks as though it's going to be postponed until at least 2022. Is this the right move, do you think?
I think for the benefit of the game, if we want to continue expanding the game, I think we need to have everyone involved. And many were saying, Matty, that if whoever won the World Cup without Australia and New Zealand, there'd be an asterisk next to it. No, I don't agree with that. It's like a gold medalist at the Moscow Olympics. You're still a gold medalist. And I feel as though that, common sense probably did prevail for the good of the game. It's just now going to come down to about whether the UK can bankroll it next year with the Soccer World Cup going ahead next year as well. And obviously a lot of money would be going towards their football team going to the World Cup. So it's going to be interesting how it all plays out. But one thing that it does fall in favour of is, I suppose, those players, a little bit like the Olympics 12 months ago, there were some athletes who were maybe nursing injuries going into the Olympics. All of a sudden, it's postponed for a year. It's the same with some of these rugby league players, like your Katoni Staggs and Ben Hunt. These sort of players would always be in the reckoning for a possible World Cup squad, travelling squad, that now can say, well, you know what, I probably wasn't going to make it this year because of injury. Now it looks like it's a possibility next year. So, yeah, there's pros and cons to it all, but I think the pros far outweigh the cons.
Yeah, and your Olympic analogy there is spot on, Sats, because there are a bunch of Olympians who are in Tokyo at the moment who quite possibly wouldn't have been there if it had have gone ahead according to schedule, and vice versa, some that have had to miss out because of the extra year. So you've just got to roll with the punches on this one. On the text line this morning, 0457 736 736, I want the listeners to tell me who gets position 7 and 8 when the Premiership heads into the finals. So at the moment, we've got the Titans, the Sharks, the Raiders, the Dragons and the Knights all on 18 points. Who do you think locks up the last two positions?
Well, you can't go on form. If you look at current form, you're going to change your mind every week, Matty. You have to look at the draw. And I think Newcastle, they've got a rails run home. So I think Newcastle, if they can play the way they did last week against Canberra, I think Newcastle can get eighth position because they are so far down the ladder at the moment based on for and against. But if they get all their victories on the way home and get a good roll in with momentum, I think they can take up eighth spot. And I think based on, even though they've got a lot of injuries, I'm just going to go purely on their experience from their coach and also some of their key players in the side. I've got to say Canberra, even though the way they're playing at the moment probably doesn't deserve or warrant a position in the finals, I just think that they can sometimes find finals mentality. We saw that 2 weeks ago against the Parramatta Eels. I think that took a lot out of them that game, and hence the what we saw from Parramatta and Canberra last weekend. That was a finals-like atmosphere, that game at Cbus a couple of weeks ago. Really heavy defensive focus from both sides. And I think both those sides now, if you ask me next week, I'll probably have two more. But with the run home, I think Canberra can, even though they've got a bit of a tough run home. But they're used to playing finals footy, and so is their coach. But Newcastle is a team based on their run home. They've probably got the box seat. Now, the way that the Titans have played the last 2 weeks, they've somehow found a way to defend the last 2 weeks, and they've accumulated big points as well to help them in the for and against. So it's going to be out of those three, but I've had to say now I'd say Canberra and the Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, so the incumbents at the moment, 7th for the Titans, 8th for the Sharks. So you're going to replace them with the Raiders and the Knights when it gets to finals time. It's an interesting little game going on at the back end here, isn't it, as we approach the final rounds. And I agree with you with the Knights in particular. I think that they just look completely different with Best back and Ponga back as well. And you just can't, you cannot rule out a Ricky Stewart coach team at this time of the year, rather, when they're that close to the top eight. There's been a lot of talk, Sats, that players who don't receive the COVID vaccine will need to remain in level 4 biosecurity protocols. What's your position on this? And I want to get a position not only as somebody who's played the game at the very highest and best level, but obviously now as a media commentator, can I take you back? If you were playing right now, regardless of your stance on this, how would you look around? And if you had a teammate who said, look, I'm not up for it, do you think that they should be treated differently?
I do, unfortunately. There's so much at stake. Not only as a player, and it's your primary job as a rugby league player to ensure that, one, you're safe and everyone else around you is safe as well, whether that's on the field and off the field from a health perspective. We're into uncharted waters in our game, not only in our game, but just in society as well. We don't know how to deal with this. We're getting all these protocols and rules from the government, and we hope that everyone follows them, but we're in uncharted waters. And I think as a player, if I was playing, where's the needle? Where do I need to line up? If I need to get vaccinated to ensure that we can continue playing the game, and if my teammate does want to get it and he has to be under stricter protocols, well, so be it. Unfortunately, that's a sacrifice he has to take, like the sacrifice I'm going to take as a player by getting the vaccination. But there's so much more that weighs on this, Matty, and this is just a personal opinion. But, you know, we've got a lot of people that are invested in the game as fans who spend money on memberships. We've got people who work in catering. We've got people who rely on casual jobs at venues each and every week. And if that doesn't go ahead, well, you know, the decisions of some has a huge effect on others. And I would want to be in a position to put people in vulnerable situations. So as a game, collectively, we've got to come together and ensure that not only we get to continue playing this great game and providing a great product, but there's so many jobs that are outside of the playing group. And you've got to take an unselfish look at it. And there's so many people that can be affected by this. So, yes, that's the reason why I get it done. And if there's a teammate that didn't want to get it done for whatever reason, well, that's his decision. But unfortunately, he's got to follow a completely separate set of rules.
And that's where the game is at under these conditions at the moment. The game is quite literally sat at a tipping point. It could quite easily go the wrong way if something went awry. And we're not just talking a match of football or a game of football. We're talking the entire competition. So there's a lot of investment. A lot of people are affected by what happens in rugby league. A lot of money going around in circles. So it's up to the players to make sure that whichever side they stand on this debate, that they do the right thing. If they're going to get vaccinated, fine. If they're not, then they're going to have to live by the level 4 protocols that are in place, and that's fine as well, as long as the game keeps going. We're doing the game plan, the Thursday game plan, with Scotty Sattler, Sports Day New South Wales host, right here on the SEN Network as we approach the 9:30 news, back with Sats' Round 21 preview after this. Thank you very much, Celeste, and also the Boomers v USA this afternoon. So 2:15 tip-off at the Saitama Super Stadium. At 2:00 today, Chris Sansty, former Boomer, and Jared Waitley will have a special preview and take you through to that match, Australia v Team USA. So Scotty Sattler's with me on the text line, 0457 736 736. Morning, Matty. When Slats joins you, could you ask him if he's ever heard of a player breaking his leg and then his arm in the same season like Hunt has? I'm a Dragons fan. We can't make the eight without him, even if we could have with him. Enjoy your day. Love the show. That's from Paul's extraordinary performances by Ben Hunt.
You know, unbelievable. You know, we're commenting throughout the week that unfortunately Ben Hunt has got this label of the 2015 Grand Final where he drops the ball off the kickoff. But, you know, there's so much more to his career. He's been fantastic for the Queensland Origin side when he plays hooker or just coming off the bench, but you know, I think mostly at hooker. And then these two efforts this year where he's broken his leg in against Manly at Wollongong at the start of the year and then fracturing a bone in his arm on the weekend and playing out the game. Just, you know, I'm just glad for Benny that people are talking about him in another light now, that his courageous efforts are putting his teammates first. And I agree, they can't make the finals without Benny Hunt, unfortunately. Tremendous young man and tremendous young player. And I'd never heard of a player. I know Scotty Prince broke his leg in a season, but I think he broke his arm the following year. He didn't break it in the same year, yeah. But it wasn't too far apart. I know that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think that too. I think you're right. I think it was leg first, then arm second, but certainly not in the same season. Talk about performances. Tom Trbojevic's performances of recent times have just been outstanding. Against the Sharks on Monday night, he was unbelievable again. Interesting that when Dalian went behind closed doors, mate, that he was, 6 points off Nathan Cleary. He's played many more games than Nathan since then, and he's played them at the top level. Do we count in Tommy Turbo as the Dally M winner?
I think if Cleary comes back this week, and I don't think if he does, I don't think he plays a major role. He might just play, I wouldn't play him a full game this week, Nathan Cleary, with that shoulder. But I think without a doubt that Trbojevic would have joined Nathan Cleary. And you know, being a Dally M judge and having to cover a lot of the games, Tommy Trbojevic has accumulated a lot of points. So it wouldn't surprise me if we went down to a joint Dally M winner again this year, because I think Cleary will still come home really hard.
Yeah, and we know from last year, never back it in until the final vote is out and in public, and we know the result. All right, mate, let me get your tips here for round 21. We'll whip through them. All the games being played either at Suncorp Stadium or Cbus Super Stadium. So tonight, the Knights v Broncos at Suncorp.
Yeah, I think the Knights are short turnaround, Matty, only 4 days, but they're only based on the Sunshine Coast, so they don't have to get on a plane. So I'm going to say the Knights.
Knights to beat the Broncos tonight. Then tomorrow night, the first of the double headers at Cbus, are the Raiders v Dragons.
I'm going to take the Raiders. I think this is their first game to jumping back into the eight. Great week. It's a good weekend as well, because we're all top six teams playing against each other, which we very rarely see. So I'm going to take the Raiders in that one.
And then at 8 o'clock, it'll be the Eels against the Rabbitohs. So this is fourth v third.
I can't wait for this one. This is a true indication, I think, of where the Bunnies are at. I think they're priming themselves beautifully towards the end of the year. You know, Wayne Bennett last year as the coach at the Rabbits. I think the Rabbits will win this one. The Eels are being tested psychologically now, not so much physically. How tough can they be psychologically?
First of three games on Saturday begins at 3 o'clock on the Gold Coast. This is Warriors against the Sharks.
The tough one. This is one of the toughest ones over the weekend, I think. I'm going to take the Warriors. I just think they're playing with a lot of spirit at the moment. The Warriors.
Warriors to beat the Sharks. Then the Roosters, 5:30, have the Panthers.
Again, another mortal enemies, these two. I'm going to take the Panthers. I'm going to anticipate that Nathan Cleary is going to play some role. And Isaiah Yeo, he's the glue that holds that team together. So Isaiah Yeo back. And if Cleary plays a role, it means Jerome Luai will play better as well. So I'm going to say the Panthers only by a bit, but...
Okay, Panthers to beat the Roosters. The Battle of Brookvale is now the Battle of Brisbane between the Sea Eagles and the Storm. This could be anything on Saturday night.
Yeah, again, mortal enemies. But love what Manly are doing. They're leaking too many points. Although they're scoring a lot, they're just leaking too many. You can't do that against the Storm. Jerome Hughes out with a calf injury. They'll just shuffle Papenhuyzen and Nico Hines around. So I think the Storm, they won't miss a beat. So Storm will win that.
and then we go to Sunday. So the final two games around 21. Sunday at Cbus at 1:50 is the Bulldogs versus the West Tigers.
West Tigers. I think they can score more points than what the Bulldogs can.
Yep, agree with that one. And then the final game, mate, is the Gold Coast Titans v Cowboys. So that's at 4:05 on Sunday afternoon.
Well, the Gold Coast have been able to defend the last couple of weeks. They've found some resilience in their defence and also accumulate a lot of points as well. So I think they'll beat the Cowboys. Even though they've got Val Holmes back, the Cows, they've just got too many young players at the moment. I think they're going to be really good in 18 months' time, the Cowboys, but at the moment, just too many young players. So I'll take the Gold Coast.
Good on you, Sats. Great to catch up today. Enjoy your weekend of footy. Enjoy the Olympics today, and we'll speak again next week.
Go Harry Garside in the boxing this afternoon.
Go Harry, go. We're going to get a medal out of there. Mate, it's a huge day of Olympic coverage. We'll be kicking it off with John Stephenson at 10 o'clock, so in about 20 minutes' time, ready to rumble. Good on you, Sats.
See you, Matty.
There he is, Scotty Sattler, Sports Day, New South Wales host. Coming up, I'll be catching up with All Blacks legend Andrew Mertens. It's always a great chat, a bit of drama for the Wallabies. Marika Corumbetti won't be playing, a couple of others as well, having a little bit too much of a good time for Dave Rennie's liking. Was it over the top? Let me know, 0457 736 736. You can let me know your Dally M medalist this far out if you want. And who makes 7 and 8 as we approach day 13 of our Olympic coverage? That's coming up from 10 o'clock, but still 20 minutes of the morning show to go. So you can be part of it. More after this. Yeah, welcome back. The morning show continues for the next 15 minutes, and then we'll switch over to our Olympic coverage. John Stephenson will be joining me for day 13 of coverage. But on the open line, 1300 01 1170, Mick from the South Coast has given us a call. You've got an idea for NRL finals, Mick.
Yeah, morning, Matty. How's things?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. What's your plan for the finals?
Well, look, the NRL must be the only competition in world sport where 50% of the teams competing make the semi-finals. Now, there's a couple of problems with that. One is that it rewards mediocrity in a couple of teams who probably have less wins than they do... Sorry. Yeah, less wins than they do losses, and their for and against is no good. And... Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I think the top eight was introduced when there was like 20 teams. So that would have been years ago, and there would have been, what, 40% of the teams in the comp making the semis. Now there's 50%, and the semis used to be a reward for excellence, not mediocrity. And I just don't see, and I know all the stuff about the media and I keep the interest in that, but it's garbage, mate. Where's the reward for the effort through the year?
I hear what you're saying. So you're thinking, like, if you called it a top six at the moment, you take it down to the Seagulls, for instance, and that rules out those that are on 18 points compared to those that are on 26, which is what Manly's on at the moment. But I think when you get to the back end of the game, imagine, Mick, and I understand your point, but imagine if we were sitting here talking about just the top six. At the moment, we've got five teams vying for the final two spots. So it does add some interest. And then it does add the curveball when you get into the finals. We don't want the finals just to be a straight-up run of the best teams winning all the way through. I think we need a few little curveballs in there. So top six is a good idea. Yes, we're rewarding 50% of the competition to make it through to the finals, but I can't see them changing it anytime soon. Thanks for the call, mate. Hope you enjoy the rest of the day down there on the South Coast. But time now to chat some rugby. We do that every week. Thanks to the Aqua Rugby Festival. We're getting behind it. You can get your tickets now for November 5 and 6 down at Manly Cove, aquarugby.com. All Blacks legend Andrew Mertens is on the line. G'day, Mertz.
Morning, Matty. How are you, mate? That sounds exciting, talking about that Aqua Rugby. Every time I hear it, I get a little shudder because there are threats that they might make me try and wheel out a New Zealand team onto the pontoon. But I'm fully planning on just sitting on the deck of a boat and watching everybody else's exertion. So excitement, yet there's that little sort of doubt in my mind if they try and make some of us oldies participate.
See, there's a shock, Mertz, because my first question to you was going to be, are you going to be a pontoon kind of guy or a super yacht kind of guy? And I kind of knew the answer anyway. But so you're hearing whispers around that there could be a Kiwi team put together, which means you're back on the pontoon.
Well, there's a limited number of Kiwis over here in terms of from an All Black background or a rugby, Super Rugby background and stuff. There are a couple up the Gold Coast who I think are keeping themselves in better shape, certainly than I am, which is not hard. Caleb Ralph, Rico Gear, I think Jose Gear might be up there as well. So, you know, those sort of guys, that's fine. I'm comfortable with that. But I am more a super yacht kind of guy, even though I'll pollute that kind of environment, sort of, you know, as a Kiwi, a bit more of a povo than you guys have over here with these flash yachts and stuff. So, I struggle sometimes watching intense sport. You know, I get a little bit tired there. So actually trying to move my legs and limbs around is not going to be the ideal scenario for me.
Don't worry. There's some fairly sizable super yachts when you go around New Zealand. I've spent a fair bit of time there, as you know. Over Waiheke Island, you can get some pretty flash yachts getting along there. So I'm not surprised that you'll be on the super yacht. Mate, I can't wait for it. November 5 and 6. It's in my backyard down at Manly Cove. So aquarugby.com. And we're piecing together teams as we talk to people along the way and see if we can get this Kiwi team up and running. Have you been watching much of the Olympics, mate?
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, now we're talking about being on the water. It's been probably our strongest performance, hasn't it? Through the sailing and also the rowing and canoeing. You know, Lisa Carrington is still involved. She won two golds on Tuesday, which is just amazing. I think one more medal of any description, and I think she becomes New Zealand's most decorated Olympian, which is just fantastic. So yeah, it's been awesome. Obviously, as a little bit of an adopted Australian almost now, supporting Australia as well. I think it's fantastic. We're both countries who punch above our weight in terms of population. So it's been awesome. So, then, like I say, Lisa Carrington, hopefully a couple more. We've got a boxer, David Nkia, who's having a crack as well. So, mate, it's just been fantastic to watch.
Carrington's been unbelievable. She's actually in the semi-final featuring our two Aussie women today, Elise Wood and Alyssa Bull in the K1 500. So she's already got two gold for these games, four gold medals overall and another medal, like you say. She'll be top of the pops for New Zealand. All right, mate, first two Bledisloe Test matches are going to be played at Eden Park. I don't even have to ask you the question about the advantage here, because Eden Park has been a hellhole for the Wallabies over the last however many years. So for them to go over there and play two tests, it's just the way it is. We're just going to have to deal with that. So if you were, let me put you on the side of the fence where you now live and have for quite a time here in Australia, how would you be saying to the Wallabies, this is how we're going to have to handle this? We haven't had success at Eden Park, but we're going to have to get over it. We're going to have to be there twice. This is the reality.
Well, I think it's actually better having two bites at it. I think once per year, which it's turned into now. I mean, over my sort of 8 years in the All Blacks, I think we played Bledisloe twice at Eden Park. And it's such a strange thing for New Zealanders, because we're brought up in the rest of New Zealand to despise Auckland a little bit. So there's no real reason behind why Eden Park is such a fortress for us when so much of the team is made up from outside of Auckland. But for whatever reason, it's developed this sort of aura, I suppose. And, you know, it's our biggest ground in New Zealand and you know, gets the most noise and probably of anyone in New Zealand. So I don't know how it's worked out like that, but, you know, 35 years since Australia won. I think it's good, to have two bites at it. And I think the Wallabies have got to go in approaching it with, you know, same old story, everything to gain, nothing to lose. Nobody's really expecting them to win either game. But I think having two goes at it might be helpful. And I think they can, you know, at least try and keep swinging at the All Blacks. I think from the times where the Wallabies have done well in the last couple of years against the All Blacks, you know, they won one and drew one last year. They had that fantastic win in Perth in 2019. And I think they've got to play like that, just throw everything, including the kitchen sink as well. And, you know, if it doesn't work, fine, but at least they've got to have the All Blacks thinking that the Wallabies are out to throw some punches at us. And, you know, I think it gives the All Blacks something to think about no matter what the result is on Saturday night going into that second game. And, of course, we've seen that Wallabies holding back a couple of guys for that second game, presumably. They haven't named the team officially, but they've certainly trimmed their squad down a little bit overnight, haven't they?
haven't they, Jess? We've run out of time to get your thoughts on that one because, yeah, three players having, well, I mean, nothing bad happened. They just decided to stay out and have a few more drinks, including Maruka Corombetti. So sitting him out for the first one, Dave Rennie's made a statement and Rugby Australia have made that statement pretty clear that that's the culture that they don't want. They want to build a different one, but it does allow them to be fresh for the second one. Good on you, Mertz. Enjoy the rest of the games, mate. Looking forward to the coverage of the Bledisloe as well.
Cheers, guys. All the best.
Andrew Mertens there. With thanks to Aqua Rugby Festival, you can get your tickets now, November 5 and 6 at aquarugby.com. But time now for an odds update. Thanks to Top Sport.
An odds update for Top Sport, home of the Top Sports betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Good morning. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. What a huge day we have coming up for all Aussie fans, where this morning we see the beach volleyball duo of Del Sola and Clancy take on the Latvian team in the semi-finals, where the winner will progress through to the gold medal match. The Aussies are $1.55 to win their semi and $4 to secure the gold. Exciting times. After the success of Jess Fox last week, the men are trying to emulate her effort where the semis of the men's K2 1000 takes place just before 11:30 this morning. The duo of Gene van der Westhuizen and Thomas Green are the second favourites to claim gold after an impressive effort in the heat to catapult up the betting market, with the German duo the only team shorter now. At 2:15, it is probably the Boomers' biggest game in their history, where all eyes will be glued to the court where they take on the Dream Team. The Aussies are $5.50 to win gold and progress through to the gold medal match, and you can also back them with 12-point starts. The Dream Team have not been as dominant this tournament, but they still have an immense talent across the court. But if the Boomers could spring the upset, it would be a monumental victory. Good luck to all the other Aussies competing. And as for anyone having a wager, make sure you do so responsibly.
Top Sport, home of the Top Sports betting multi. Download the Top Sport app today. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.